Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, with the State of the Union address tomorrow, we will have a call in later in the program for listeners from left, right, and other on what President Obama should fight for in 2010. And we're collecting your suggestions right now on our website and Facebook pages. What should President Obama fight for now that he says he's in fighting mode? And we'll play some clips later on that are pretty interesting by way of comparison of President Obama the other day talking about how he's going to fight and John McCain back from the Republican convention using the word fight about 150,000 times. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, or go to the Brian Lehrer Facebook page to answer the question, what should President Obama fight for? And we'll talk about that later in the program. Meanwhile, while you were sleeping last night, an army of volunteers went out to the streets of New York to conduct the city's annual survey of unsheltered homeless people. The survey, a combined effort from the Department of Homeless Services and the Services for the Underserved, two city agencies, tries to put a number on a group that is uniquely difficult to count, mostly because they're uniquely difficult to find. Since the count was going on from 11 p.m. last night till around 4 a.m. this morning, we don't have hard and fast numbers yet, but last year the estimates were of about 1,360 homeless people living outside, another 968 residing in subways. And again, that's only a survey of the people who have refused all services and treatment for this, from the city, not those living in shelters, who are believed to be at record levels right now. But let's talk about this with Mary Brosnahan, the executive director of the advocacy group Coalition for the Homeless, and also Sophia Tu, who happens to be a Brian Lehrer Show intern for some time right now, and who also happens to be one of the people who was out counting last night as part of her work as a CORO fellow. That's part of the group, the CORO Institute for Leadership in New York. And Sophia, I got that name wrong, right?
It's the CORO New York Leadership Center.
Okay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sophia's been helping a lot behind the scenes the last few weeks. And Mary Brosnahan from Coalition for the Homeless, always good to have you on. Hello.
Hey, Brian. Thank you.
Sophia, how you feeling?
Feel kind of like I'm back in college, day after an all-nighter, maybe like finals looming, that kind of feeling.
What did you do? Where did you start? Where did you go?
We started at a school in around 33rd Street, and then that was the central training center. And then they deployed us at about 12:15 to go out to all, we all had different assignments, different blocks of the city. And I was assigned to the Long Island Railroad Station part of Penn Station.
So you were counting homeless people in Penn Station in the Long Island Railroad wing?
That's right.
And did you approach them? Did you count them from a distance? How do you actually do that?
So the training, I think they did a really good job with the training. We had there was a great online video, and normally I'm not going to sit still and like watch a whole 10-minute training video, but I think they did a really good job. And then there was also in-person training and a booklet, so people with different learning styles. And the most important thing was to not assume who is homeless and who's not. So we were required to go and talk to every single person that we saw who was not obviously transitioning, like trying to get on or off a train. And so that include people that were sleeping on cardboard and had their bags with them, as well as people who might be dressed in suits with bags, looking like they're standing around waiting. But
so play this out for me. Let's role play. I'm slumped in a corner of Penn Station near the Long Island Railroad entrance, and kind of half asleep. I'm kind of gazing around, and you walk up to me and?
Hi, my name is Sophia Tu. I'm a volunteer with the City of New York. Tonight we're asking everyone a couple questions about their housing situation. Can I ask you a couple questions?
No, I don't know.
All right, thank you. And so if the person is asleep, then we don't bother them. We just mark them down as we believe that they're homeless. And if the person is awake and not willing to answer the questions, then we go to the most important question to fill out. Do you believe this person is homeless? And that's can be a kind of judgment call. But if they are looking, they told us a couple of things. If they got a lot of stuff with them, if they're disheveled, then maybe they are homeless.
And if I said, sure, I'll answer some questions.
Is there some place tonight that you consider your home? Something along those lines. I think I got the wording a little bit off, but we had the questionnaire. We're supposed to go by it pretty much word for word to for the survey methodology.
And
to be
did
consistent.
You do this for 5 hours, roughly, 11 to 4?
We finished up a little early. We finished at 3 and then came back and did a debrief and turned in all our forms and everything.
And how many people did you count?
Oh, let's see. We had, I was in a group with 5 other people, and we were just assigned that area of Penn Station. We're like, great, we got a short assignment. We'll be done soon. But we got there and realized there are lots and lots of people there at all hours of the day. I mean, it's New York City, city that never sleeps. And so there are people waiting to catch their trains. And we went to like the Long Island Railroad waiting room, and we looked in, and the room was packed. All the seats were full, and we're like, okay, you start over there, and I'm going to start on this side. And we just went down, and it was a little awkward at first, for sure. But I think it was really important just for us to know that we're not going to make assumptions about who is homeless, who is not, talking to every person and making them feel like.
And just there in that wing of Penn Station, how many did you count?
I think in that wing, there were probably, I would say maybe 40 people there, and then maybe 3 people who asked who took up our offer for assistance to get to shelter that evening, and then maybe 1 or 2 other people who refused.
And you're just happy you weren't assigned to wander the streets of Flatbush or Woodside or something like that.
Yeah, well, actually, the weather turned out to be pretty nice last night.
Before we bring in Mary Brosnahan from Coalition for the Homeless, who's kind of a critic of this whole process, what did they tell you the purpose of it was and the usefulness of it was?
So they were really adamant about this message, that the primary purpose of this is to obtain an accurate count, and it's not to provide outreach for services. That was kind of secondary, and if we encountered people who we believed might who were looking for shelter, and we always offered shelter and assistance, but that was not the primary purpose of it.
So Mary Brosnahan from Coalition for the Homeless, you've been a skeptic of this process for years and years. You want to tell us why?
Yeah, you know, Brian, it's not just the Coalition for the Homeless. The Columbia University professors who were hired to put together this study actually disavowed it 2 years ago, because the people who were out counting actually deviated so seriously from the instructions that they were given, and also the fact that it covers about 20% of the city's surface area. And what they found was that nearly a third of the people, or homeless people, are sleeping in non-visible places in Manhattan, and in the outer boroughs, nearly half are sleeping in non-visible areas. I think it's very, first of all, thank you to Sophia, that she just has that much energy and dedication to go out and spend this amount of time. I think that's terrific. I think it's unfortunate, though, that this much time and effort is being wasted, and they're telling these volunteers that this is a count of homeless people. It's backed up with a very aggressive PR campaign. And in fact, if you go and look at the city's website, they themselves admit that this is not a count. It's an estimate, and Columbia University, that devised this methodology, actually has disavowed it as saying that it's statistically meaningless. And the count keeps showing that homeless people on the street, the number is going down as the numbers in the shelters are climbing. It's flawed on so many levels, it's hard to know where to begin.
They did say the number of street homeless was going down, and over the last several years of the Bloomberg administration, they said actually that would correlate with the rise in the shelter population. Their goal is to get people off the streets and into some kind of shelter.
Yeah, that's preposterous, Brian. In fact, if you look historically, the shelter population and the street population have tracked very closely. The Coalition is actually out 365 nights of the year feeding 1,000 people on the street, and I would love for you to have one of our volunteers on your show who can tell you that the numbers are going up, or I would love to hear from your callers who walk the streets every day. It's clear that the numbers on the streets have gone up. And also, I think it's important to note, as your intern noted, that the weather varies wildly from year to year. Last year at this time, it was bitterly cold on the count night. This year, it actually was a relatively mild night last night. There's absolutely no adjustment made for that type of weather adjustment.
Well, listeners, let's take Mary's challenge here and do kind of an informal, observational homeless census based on what you see in your neighborhood. Do you think the number of street homeless, people who appear to be living on the streets in your neighborhood, is on the rise in the last year or in the last several years? Since the recession really hit, is this having an effect on homelessness that you see around you? 212-433-WNYC. a little informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show Homeless Census, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. But Mary Brosnahan, let's step back from the disagreement on the numbers. I think everybody pretty much agrees now that certainly since the economy started to tank over a year ago, that the number of homeless people is going up and going up rather dramatically in New York City. So what do we do now? Do you see the Bloomberg administration as doing roughly the right things in response to the crisis?
Well, I think it's great to take a step back here, Brian, because if you go back even before the economy started tanking, back in 2006, the Bloomberg administration made a policy decision to stop giving federal Section 8 relief vouchers to homeless families. And frankly, from that point forward, not just from the recession, but from that point forward, we saw the shelter population skyrocketing. So if you look at the shelter system, there are two things going on here. The front end of the system continues to be grossly mismanaged. We're actually in court right now trying to get the city to open up more beds so that, for instance, at Bellevue Men's Shelter, men are not sleeping on the floors. They can actually get a stable shelter placement. But equally important on the back end of the system is their permanent housing for this population. And on both ends of those systems, unfortunately, the Bloomberg administration has struck out. They have had a series of short-term rental assistance programs that have not done the job in terms of getting people up and out of the shelter system. So then you have the recession hitting. You have increased numbers of people coming into a shelter system and very little opportunity to exit. And tonight we have record homelessness in New York City. We have over 39,000 people in the shelter system. That's an all-time high. That includes 10,000 families, a record high, with 16,000 children, boys and girls. The numbers are staggering. I mean, this is one area where Bloomberg has just been an abject failure. And it's, you wonder, when is he going to change his team, change the strategy, and really get back to brass tacks and start running the system so that people can get the help they need? These kids' lives are being completely disrupted.
People are seeing something on the streets, Mary, because I'll tell you, our lines exploded as soon as I asked the question. All 10 of our lines are full. So we'll listen to some of our listeners right now with their observations in an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show Homeless Census. Sophia, too, before I let you go, is homelessness something that you're interested in, that you're studying as a Coro Fellow, or was this basically a one-night volunteer assignment for you?
Well, this wasn't an assignment. It was a couple of us
a volunteer. Effort, sorry.
A couple of us were just interested in this fellowship. We've been learning a lot about the city and the interactions between government and nonprofit agencies and business and all these other pieces, moving pieces in this complex system.
And so I'm just giving you the opportunity to make any observations about homelessness policy in the city, if you have any. Maybe you don't have any.
I have to say I'm a transplant from California. I'm not super familiar with homelessness policy.
You're learning
in New York.
The city. Yeah, did they ask you to stay involved in any way after your volunteer last night?
Not a specific ask, but I'm on their mailing list now, and I'll look for volunteer opportunities in the future.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
In front of the microphone. Now back to your intern duties. And Hope in Kensington, you're on WNYC. Hope, thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have noticed an increase in homeless people in our area. I've lived there for 30 years. I've never seen families sleeping in the park, but the parade grounds across the street from my building. A woman with her two children, they cleaned themselves, clean themselves in the park across the street. And mentally ill people have begun sleeping in the Fort Hamilton train station. And I've never seen this.
Hope, thank you very much for reporting that. So, Mary, what should the city do with a report like that? I don't know if those people were counted or not last night. It'd be interested to go out and check on them tonight, since we now know from Hope, assuming she's reporting accurately, that there are particular people, including families with children, in particular places, the parade grounds and that train station. What should the city do?
Well, first of all, with the mentally ill population, spent some time and other my colleagues up at Bellevue Men's Shelter. That's the central intake point for homeless men, and I've seen it myself. You have clearly very mentally ill persons walking around, not being engaged, not being put in a specialized bed, and it's just more of the same, Brian. You've reported on this for probably over 20 years. The front end of the system is completely off-putting to people who are mentally ill. It's completely chaotic. It's extremely difficult for people to get a bed. And for, in terms of that family, that is extremely alarming. The city should go out immediately and get those children inside and a place where they have stable shelter. But again, the system is bursting at the seams. And so even if that mother took her children up to the PATH Center in the Bronx, which is the central intake for families, she probably, if it's any indication of what we're seeing in our waiting room every morning, would be given the runaround and not being given a stable situation so those kids can get to school and have a place to do their homework.
And in a minute, we're going to meet Martin Covington, who you helped us to find and meet up with, who has stayed in the Bellevue Men's Shelter recently. But first, let's do more of that informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show homeless census. Steve in Manhattan, hi.
Hi, Brian.
What are you seeing and where?
I bike home every night from work, usually after midnight, and watch the homeless people who are sleeping in the church vestibules, and the numbers have exploded in the last year. People are out there vying for space, and I haven't seen that since 25 years ago.
Stephen, thank you. Elaine on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I have a different observation. I have not seen the homeless as they were 20 years ago. I have not seen them in the 103rd Street Station where they used to live. And I live across the street from a shelter. I have not seen them. And some of the faces I do see are familiar faces. They've been around for 20 years. They purport to be homeless. I'm not quite sure whether they, too, or not found a way to continue to raise money. But as far as I'm concerned, in this neighborhood, which is Upper West Side, it's not any worse. It's actually significantly better.
So that Upper West Side, 103rd.
Between Broadway and West End.
Right. Thank you very much. So, thanks. Mary Brosnahan from Coalition of the Homeless, would there be a reason, assuming everybody's reporting accurately, would there be a reason that people might see fewer homeless people than in the past at the 103rd Street, number one station? Maybe that's a place that they focus on to keep homeless people out of, whereas the caller who rides his bicycle would see more people in vestibules. I mean, maybe those two things go together.
Well, what we do know from feeding about 1,000 people every night and what we hear in all these different neighborhoods is that the police presence and the policing varies greatly from precinct to precinct. And so we know that there are localized crackdowns in certain areas, people flushed into other areas. But across the city, what our people who are out every night are saying that the numbers are clearly up. Again, going back to this count that was done last night on the street, the volunteers do not go into the subway trains. And for those of us who regularly ride the trains, I mean, again, I have to say, I travel the subways frequently, and it's rare that I have a ride on the subway when I don't see a homeless person either in my car, or on the platform, somewhere on my journey.
In fact, relevant, I think, is Mike in Astoria who is calling in. Hi, Mike, you're on WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Mary.
Hey, Brian.
This is Michael Vincent. I was homeless. I technically am still homeless because I do not have a lease. In the past year, in the past 25 months, let's put it that way, past 25 months, the Bloomberg administration has twice lost my home and rendered me helpless. I am.
What do you mean lost your home? How do they lose a home?
I have post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm a former case manager for John Youth House, and I've worked with the mentally ill homeless. I won a 40-month rent strike against a Minnie Madoff, who now sits in federal detention, federal prison, for stealing from Andrew Cuomo HUD money from Harlem under Bill Clinton. When I won the case, I won an apartment, but I was also involved in a case with the Catholic Church. I asked for help. They said, stay in your apartment. We're going to help you. Instead, the city is dumping, and Mary can confirm with this, I think, the city's dumping people by looking on the computer. If you've ever gone to court on your own, they say you're capable. So I lost my home, and a friend who had AIDS put me up. He ended up getting worse and sick and died, and I was illegally... They tried to illegally evict me from his apartment, and I won a lease.
And Mike, I'm going to leave it there because it's getting complicated and we're getting short on time. But Mary, to take him seriously, there are many, many ways that people become homeless.
Oh, exactly. I think what we're seeing again and again are people who say, I never thought I would find myself here. About 10 days ago, Brian, I spent the night out at Bellevue Men's Shelter, and you see the mixture of people. You see people who we would expect to wind up homeless because they've just been discharged from a psychiatric hospital. But then you meet young people. I met a gentleman who was a busboy at Cipriani's, or people who work security guard jobs. Young men, 19, 20, 25 years old, and to see the shame in their eyes with their just sitting there carrying all their belongings, they never thought they would wind up homeless. And so that's why we need the administration to recognize that their past approach has failed and that we really do need to try something that's going to be effective.
And let's also just for a few minutes bring in Martin Covington, who, Mary, you helped us get in touch with, who I understand recently arrived from California, is currently homeless, accessing services through a number of nonprofits, including the crisis intervention at the program at the Coalition for the Homeless, which is how you know him. Mr. Covington, can you hear me? Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. When did you come to New York?
I came in June. I actually came in June from California.
What brought you here?
Actually, I came to see a nephew that I haven't seen in years, and the situation was I found out that he was using drugs, and I can't be in that type of environment, you know. It would be easier for them to get me involved with that stuff than it is for me to get him off of it. Do you understand?
I understand. So you got yourself out of there.
Right, and the only place for me to go at that moment was to Bellevue, and when I got there, it looked like, wow, unbelievable.
What's it like?
It was like a madhouse. People that, you know, run around, you know, they say that they care, but they actually don't. You really have to be adamant in your situation and trying to go forward, because if you just leave it into their hands, nothing will get done, nothing at all.
Do you think Bellevue has to be like that, or could the city run that shelter in a better
way? Actually, I think the city can run that shelter a lot better. What it is that the individuals that work there, either they became desensitized over the years, or they just really, really don't care. You know, it's like a never-ending battle. You know, as long as they have a job and they're not homeless, you know, I need to keep you homeless in order for me to have a job. You know, that's the way they feel.
Did you come here intending to live with your nephew or to visit him?
I actually came here to live with him because I haven't seen him in years. And
Martin, you grew up here, right?
Yeah, actually, I was born and raised in New York. I've just been living out in California for years.
I see. So what are you doing to try to get back on your feet?
Well, actually, now I'm an intern now at the animal control in the city. So actually, my life has gotten a whole lot better. From nothing, it's turned into something. You know, hopefully down the road I'll get a city job and work on getting housing, you know.
What would it take for you to be able to get housing?
I'm just going through the motions with the Work Advantage that they have. Where I'm at right now, I'm saving my monies, so I'm able to afford it. You know, that's all I really needed was just time. You know, and that's what these shelters, if they can just allot the time that you have that you can get and work and save your monies or what have you, then you can go out there and fend for yourself, you know. But if they're not even giving you the time, like every day is a struggle just to get something to eat. Every day is a struggle just to put a shirt on your back, you know. You know, how can I go out there and find a job if I can't even, you know, wash my behind, so to speak?
Do you find that there's a lot of back and forth between men who are staying in the shelter some nights and maybe staying on the streets the other nights, or not so much?
Actually, I do see that. And it might, in certain cases, be out of fear too, because you have to realize that these environments right here are somewhat hostile as well. You know, an individual that was never homeless and now he's put in that situation and goes to Awards Island or Bellevue and see the chaos and the madness, the next day it's like, man, I'm not going to go there. It's actually safer for me to be out on the street than it is to be in this place.
Have you slept on the street yourself ever?
Actually, I slept on the park bench one time, and that was not good at all.
Which
was not good.
Because?
Actually, in Central Park, the fear of the unknown, I'm sleeping and people are walking by and, you know, anything can happen, you know, and, you know, you're afraid, you know, you're in a situation where, you know, you have to sleep with one eye open. And that's the same with the Bellevue situation. It's like now that I'm behind these walls and, you know, and hopefully I have security downstairs that's going to protect me, I still have to sleep with one eye open.
Which makes you more afraid, sleeping at the men's shelter or sleeping on a park bench?
Actually sleeping in the men's shelter.
Why?
Yeah, actually, because you have in a lot of these shelters, especially like Ward's Island, Bellevue, you have a lot of gang members that's in there. You know, a lot of individuals coming from prisons or what have you that you know, can't go to their family's home, so they have to be put into a shelter. And they throw them in these shelters, and, you know, you're just trying to get your life together, but now you can't get anything to eat because you're not a gang member. You can't get anything to eat because you're not a part of this guy's group or what have you, you know. So it's like an uphill battle.
Martin Covington, thank you very much for taking a few minutes and coming on the radio with us. We really appreciate your candor.
Thank you very much, Guy.
And Mary Brosnahan, director of the Coalition for the Homeless, who also helped us find Martin Covington, thank you very much for coming on the morning after the City of New York's homeless census.
Thanks, Brian.
And we do expect to have the commissioner of the Department of Homeless Services coming on with us with her take coming up in a few days. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, we'll talk to the New York City Comptroller, John Liu. Did you hear that Mayor Bloomberg has estimated that if Governor Patterson's budget proposals take effect, the mayor will have to eliminate 19,000 city jobs, 8,500 teachers, 3,100 police officers, more than 1,000 firefighters? We'll talk about it with the Comptroller in a minute.